something happens and somebody is trying to tell you a story, you will say, well, let's hear you. Let's start the story from the beginning. So we're going to the book of Genesis this morning. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. We are going to read verse 26. And then we'll go to Genesis chapter 3 and we will read verse 15. So we are reading just two verses. And in these two verses is the plan, the purpose, and the objectives of God for Christmas. I titled today's message, Thank God for Christmas. Let me tell your neighbor, thank God for Christmas. In fact, tell two or three people, thank God for Christmas. Now let's rise on our feet as we read the word of God together. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And from there, we'll go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. One to go. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read 28, just for emphasis. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, let's go to chapter 3 and we will read just one verse, verse 15. Are you there? Okay, let's go. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Your word, Lord, we have heard, brings light and understanding to the simple. Let understanding come as we go into your word today. Speak unto us. Edify with your word today. Encourage someone with your word today. Enlighten our darkness today. Empower us with your word today. And let your name and your name only be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have given thanks. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God is a God of purpose and is a God of plan. He's also a God of objectivity. Praise the Lord. There is nothing that happens by chance when it comes to God. And there is nothing that happens that God is not aware of. There's nothing that we see that he had not pre-planned or pre-arranged. He is a master strategist. Praise the Lord. And anytime that I read the scriptures, there are two scriptures to me are so profound. And those scriptures just separate God from man. It makes me to understand that no matter what happens, God knows about it. He knows about it and he allowed it. And because he is a God of purpose, there is a purpose for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So these true scriptures, I must introduce you to them. Because I believe that if you understand what God is trying to say through these scriptures, you will no longer be defeated by any plan of the enemy. He can't defeat you again. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. He says, And he said, thus saith the Lord, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. He said, that's what God does. And he said, and he will do all his pleasure. This is God talking here through the prophet. He said, I will do all my pleasure. He said, things that are not yet done, I've already declared them. Praise the Lord. I'm going somewhere with this today. Now, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 also and verse 15, the Bible tells us there something about God. He said, the things that are, the thing that is, has already been. Glory be to Jesus. And when I was really studying these scriptures, I said, there is nothing that is in God's plan that God is unfolding here on earth that had not yet happened. Praise the Lord. And that was why the Bible says there was a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Who was that lamb that was slain? Jesus. Hallelujah. Before the foundations of the earth. In other words, Jesus had died before he came to live. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came, when he was born, he only came to fulfill that which had already been. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Amen. From the very beginning, the Bible said God created all things. From what we have read in our text today, God said, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And let them have what? Let them have dominion. Praise the Lord. I want you to understand something here because it's really very important. God says, let us make man. Who was he referring to as us? Hallelujah. I'm sure there are Bible students here. Who was God referring to as us? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, let us make man. The Trinity. Let's make man. Let us. Now, when it comes to the purpose of the let us, he said, let them. There's a difference between let us and let them. Let us included God. Let them. It's minus God. I'm going somewhere. In other words, the dominion authority that God has given to you, even God can't take it back. Glory be to Jesus. The authority, he said, let them have dominion. We make them, but they have the authority. In other words, God excused himself from operating here by himself. God is a spirit. Hallelujah. To operate here on earth, he will need a body, because a spirit is illegal here to operate. When the devil was thrown out of heaven, he needed a body to operate here. And that's where he went into the serpent. Amen. If God is going to operate on this earth, he will need a body. Praise the Lord. Because he is a spirit. How many of you know that God himself will not violate his own law? Why? Because he is holy. Amen. Thank God for Christmas. When man fell, According to that story in the book of Genesis, man fell in chapter 3 when the woman was beguiled by serpent. And he took the forbidden fruit and gave also to her husband to eat. The Bible said, that day they died. Amen. Amen. Why? Because man died in that garden spiritually. And I'll prove it to you in the Bible. Man also died physically. In the lyrics of one of the songs that we sang today, he said that man will live forevermore. That was the plan of God, that we will live forevermore. But when sin came into it and man fell in the garden, man had to die. Praise the Lord. You know why? I will give you the reason. Man had to die because God is holy. Man had to die because God himself is holiness. Holiness means what God says is what he does, and it is who he is. He can't change. The three are the same. Who God is what he says, and it is what he does. That's holiness. So when man fell in the garden, is somebody listening to this Christmas story? When man fell in the garden, remember, he told them, gave them a commandment. Praise the Lord. He said, do not eat from this tree. But man broke that law and ate from that tree God forbade them to eat from. Amen. Are you listening? And God said to them, if you eat from this tree, what will happen to you? Ye shall die. Hallelujah. Ye shall die. For God to remain holy, man had to die. It would be unholy of God for him to spare man. Because what God says is who he is, and it is what he does. You see, God doesn't threaten people. God does not threaten. You know, with a threat, it means that you can carry out, you know, a consequence. It may happen, it may not happen. That's a threat. But God always warns people. God's word is who he is. So when God says, if you eat this, if you break the law, ye shall die, man had to die. Now, remember that there was already a plan that God had made. Because he is the one that sits in the presence and knows the future, which we don't. God already knew that man was going to break the law. And that was why there was a lamb that was already slain before the foundations of the world. In case man fails, I have an ace. Praise the Lord. In case man breaks my law, I have a plan B. Thank you, Jesus. So when man broke God's law, God said, I have to kill him. But in his own word, he has already made a pronouncement according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 28 that man should go and be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Now, remember, God is his word and God is holy. He can change his word. That's why the Bible says he is God and he changeth not. He had already spoken. And remember, he says, if I speak it, I will make it good. It shall come to pass. So for God to kill man, it means that the plan of fruitfulness and dominion, empowerment that he had pre-spoken and pre-declared over man, is truncated. Is somebody following? That word can no longer be fulfilled if God kills man.
But he also said, if man breaks my law, man must die. So there are two contradictions. Praise the Lord. How is the blessing that I pronounced on man after I created him? How will it come to pass? If it doesn't come to pass, I cease to be God. I become unholy. And if I don't kill man, I will still be an unholy God. It will taint my faithfulness. I will become who I am not. Unfaithful, unreliable, undependable. But that's not who I am. But because God is a master strategist to let the devil know that you think that you will have the last laugh. That you think that because I do not have the authority to operate here, because I'm a spirit. How am I going to now redeem the man? What will I do? Praise the Lord. So the first reason or the purpose of Christmas is because God is holy. Write it down. That's number one. It's because he is holy. He must keep his word. Hallelujah. He must do what? He must keep his word. God's holiness is what caused Christmas. Holiness is who God himself is. What he says is what he does, and that is who he is. And he cannot change that. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. So what was the plan? God said, well, I've given man dominion. I can't take it back from him. So what am I going to do? I cannot operate here as a spirit. To operate here on earth, you need a body. That's why you are a spirit, but you live in a body. You need your body to operate here on earth. Praise the Lord. That's why God gave us the body. In the spirit realm, they don't need the body. It is here that is needed. Hallelujah. So when man dies, you already know, and you bury the person. That body is not going anywhere. It will just be rotting inside the 6x6. But the real person has already left the body. Because man is a spirit. He lives in a body and he has a soul. Praise the Lord. So God is a spirit. So what was the plan of God to redeem man? God has already passed a judgment. If you break that law, you will die. Hallelujah. How do I now make man to live? So that my original purpose of man here on earth must be performed. Because if man dies, that is the end of it. Hallelujah. That is when God now went, as it is written in the book of Luke, and sent an angel, Gabriel, to a woman, and said, borrow me your body. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Borrow me your body. Because I have a plan here to redeem man. And as you all know the story, Mary says, let it be done according to your word. So God himself came. You see, that was why the pregnancy was immaculate conception. Praise the Lord. That he didn't need man, because to need man will contaminate it. Praise the Lord. And to those of you who have had children, I'm sure you will know that the doctors will tell you that even your blood does not mix with that of the baby in the placenta. It doesn't mix with it. So that the blood
the stained blood of Mary will not mix with that one of God that is holy, that is coming through Mary. Hallelujah. So God borrowed Mary's body to come here to tell the devil, ha, 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 you thought that you have won. I have spoken that I will redeem man. Did I not say it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15? That I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. He was already talking about her at the very beginning, because the plan to use a body was at the very beginning. God already knew that man was going to fall, that he was going to break the law. So he came to Mary and said, let me use your body. And God entered a body and said, I will be born like a man into this world. Why? Because I am holy. I cannot change my word. And I need to redeem man from death. So when God says, if you do this, this is what I will do. God himself knows. If man doesn't die, somebody has to die. If it is not man, someone must die. Praise the Lord. So that God can remain holy. Someone must die. And God said, who is going to die? I will die in his place. Glory be to Jesus. I wish there's somebody here who is really understanding what God is saying. Because when you are complaining, God didn't answer my prayer, God did not do this for me, it's because you really have no understanding of how God loves you so much that he, the Almighty God, will come and dwell and become a man so that you and I will not die the double death. Praise the Lord. Remember, I said God is a spirit. Man died twice. He died spiritually, and he also died physically. In the garden, what did man do when he sinned? He was separated from God. Praise the Lord. So his spirit died. And then man began to die also, physically. So how is God himself will be able to redeem man if he doesn't have to die both deaths? So God himself has to die both deaths. Praise the Lord. Now, you may ask me, how did God die spiritually? After all, God is a spirit. Hello? And I want you to know that God is the one that killed himself. Glory be to Jesus. How did God die spiritually? On the day that Jesus was crucified, he was on the cross. What did Jesus say? The most profound statement that he made, the one that really touched him to the innermost recesses of his heart, it wasn't because he was thirsty. The one that really touched him most was when he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Praise the Lord. Why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, there was a time that God forsook himself. He separated himself from himself. Why? So that he can die spiritually. Glory be to Jesus. When you grow up, you will pick it up. Father, Father, why had thou forsaken me? God forsook him. Remember, God is a spirit. The spirit left him. Why? God could not behold sin. For the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that the iniquities of all men was laid upon him. And God could not behold iniquity. So God needed for a moment to separate himself from sin. Hallelujah. And then, because God was in a body, the body too died physically. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The purpose of Christmas is because of God's holiness. God cannot change himself. The second thing is God is just. God is just. Or God himself is justice. He's just. You know, many times when we say, oh, the judgment of God. I caught a revelation that even the judgment of God is not always a negative thing. It's even a positive thing. Hallelujah. So when God said to you, give and it shall be given unto you, it is judgment. Yes. Judgment is past. That when you give, this is what you receive. So the promises of God are actually his judgments. Hallelujah. So God is just. He cannot change. That should clear out any doubt that you have in your heart. That whatsoever God has promised you, it will not come to pass. It's a lie of the devil. It is coming to pass. Why? Because God is justice. And judgment must be done. Praise the Lord. Let me show you a few scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 17. If you're there, please read quickly. Yes.
Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. For ye shall hear the small as well as the great.
What? Ye shall
hear the small as well as the great.
Mm-hmm.
Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man.
Yes, so.
Yes.
Judgment. Aha. The judgment itself is God himself. So God is justice. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 28. Are you there? 37 and verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment. Yes.
And forsake not his saints. They are preserved forever. They are preserved forever.
Praise the Lord.
The
judgments of God are preserved forever. Hallelujah. The judgments of God, they are preserved forever. When God has judged you prosperous, it is preserved forever. Your healing is preserved forever. I wish I had people who really truly believe God today. It is preserved. The promises, those precious promises of God for his children, they are preserved forever. Why? Because God is judgment. He is just and is justice. Justice is defined as fairness and fair play. Hallelujah. So it will be unjust of God not to fulfill his promise in your life. And if God is justice, then that promise is coming to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Justice means lack of bias. I love that definition. Lack of bias. So when men look at you, and they judge you by the mistakes of your past. God says, I am justice. And there is no bias in my mind. So I'm not going to look at you and say, look at her, see what she went to go and do. I will not bless her. No. The grace of God will still release the blessings of God in our lives. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want you today to see Christmas in a different light from the way you have been seeing it before. To really truly understand the sacrifice that God himself made on your behalf, on my behalf. So that everything that he has planned for us, everything he has decreed concerning us, everything that he has destined for us to have, that we would have it. He has already spoken. And he says, that which I have spoken cannot be altered. And because it cannot be altered, somebody must die. If man dies, my promises will not be fulfilled. If man dies, fruitfulness is over. If man dies, then I can no longer reclaim the dominion authority that man lost in the garden and give it back to them. Somebody has to die. And God choose to die in your place and in my place. That is why, to me, Christmas is more significant than the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to have resurrection, there must first be a crucifixion. To have a crucifixion, somebody must be born to die. Hallelujah. So he was born as a man into this world so that he can take on himself all the sins of the world and then save man from the curse that was pronounced right from the beginning. So he said in Genesis chapter 3, because that was the beginning of Christmas, I will put enmity between you and the woman. The seed will bust your head and you will bruise his heel. The seed. So there has to be a seed. And that seed is Jesus Christ, who came in form of a man to die the death on the cross so that he can be the savior of the world, the reconciler of earth back to heaven, and the one to reclaim the dominion, authority, power, and influence that Adam lost in the garden and then restore it unto you and I. I think that deserves an applause. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So thank God for Christmas. Help me tell two or three people, thank God for Christmas. This is the reason why I celebrate. This is the reason why I am happy. It is the reason for the season. Hallelujah. That God himself took my place and died. He came, he became man. The deity became man himself to experience everything that man will experience. So that the devil would not say, ah, God, you cheated there. He had to go through it all so that you and I will be free to become all that God has preordained for us to be and have everything he has predestined for us to have in life. Praise be unto God for the sacrifice that he has made. Thank God for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ on that day. So, beloved, I don't know about you. This is the reason why I come to adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We ought to adore him. When life seems to be beating you down, remember the price that has been paid on your behalf. When things don't go the way that you want them to go, remember Christmas. Hallelujah. It's not just on December 25th that you remember. If you go to Israel, some people will disagree with you that he was born on the 25th of December. Hello, somebody. But I don't care whichever day you think that he was born. What is important that he was born. Glory be to Jesus. And I choose to celebrate that his birth. So anytime that life happens, I remember Christmas because of what he did. Hello? Let me tell two or three people, thank God for Christmas. Rise on your feet. My mission is to let you to see that there's no reason for you to be anxious about anything. Everything was laid upon him. He chose to come into this world. Hallelujah. On our behalf. He said, I will die for them. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what he did. So we're just going to appreciate him for what he has done for us and thank God for Christmas. That's what we're going to do. Because the blessings of Christmas, God is releasing it upon you today. As you appreciate what he himself had to go through. As you appreciate God's holiness. And that's why Peter said it. He said, be ye holy. For God himself is holy. Let what you say be the same as what you do. And then who you are as a child of God. A beneficiary of the blessings of Christmas. Hallelujah. I want you right now to begin to thank the Lord and show your appreciation and thank him for Christmas. Whatever you have prepared in your home to eat this afternoon, no matter the delicacies that are waiting for you at home, first of all, thank God for Christmas. Thank God for God. If he didn't come, there is no need for your turkey. There is no need for your mince pies. Hello, somebody. There is no need for that beautiful Christmas tree in your living room. It wouldn't have happened. But I believe that spirit, the joy, goodwill, peace to all men that was released on that day is available for you today. And therefore, I speak peace into your life. Speak peace into your heart. Peace into your home. In the name of Jesus. The angel said, and goodwill towards all men. I declare that goodwill will follow you. Wherever you go from today, goodwill from all men will follow you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will find goodwill from men. Men will go out of their way to assist you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of Christmas is a spirit of joy. Is a spirit of peace. Is a spirit of restoration. Is a spirit of dominion. Is a spirit of rescue and deliverance. May that spirit work for you today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. May that spirit remain with you today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to thank the Lord for what you have received. The blessings and the goodness of the Lord. His holiness that we have received. We have been partakers of his holiness, partakers of his justice and his judgment. Let's begin to thank the Lord for it. Let's thank the Lord for it. Let's thank the Lord for it. Thank him for the dominion authority that he has given to you. He reclaimed it back and he gave it to us. So we are in authority here on earth. Because Christ in us is the hope of glory. He has come to dwell in man. He's dwelling in everyone that believes in him. So that through us, he will establish his kingdom here on earth. So appreciate God that is on the inside of you. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. So thank him for his kingdom that is within you. Thank him. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We give you all praise. We are grateful. Great things you have done for us already. We do not take this for granted. We do not take it lightly. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We appreciate Christmas. We appreciate the sacrifice. And we appreciate the blessings. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.